that you will send your word out and it will produce fruit and it will accomplish that, the thing to which you sent it to do, and it will prosper. Now, Lord, we thank and praise you for the speaker. Lord, we thank you that you have already downloaded a word in him that we know is going to enrich, enhance, and empower us as believers. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the word that he brings forth, oh God, will just transform us and that we will be more than just hearers. We will be doers of the word. Bless this family. Bless this congregation. Bless them indeed, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, my TMC family, as we go out go forward to hear the word and have a work the word weekend. I love you. Host, are you there?
I am here, Minister Willa. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Minister Kai. God bless you. It's all yours.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Master's Call. This is Minister Kai, and I reside in the great city of Norcross, Georgia. First, I want to say thank you to Minister Willa for seating and greeting the people. And then I want to welcome you and wish you all the warmest of kingdoms greeting. And thank you for joining us in the TMC Telecommunications Sanctuary. This call is all about the Master, and each day, Monday through Friday, we come together to give him the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due him. The Master's Call was founded on October 25th, 2010, by two amazing women of God. That's Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, affectionately known as our Mother Eagle. When God gave the mandate, he also gave the mission, which is to enrich, empower, and enhance believers as we begin our day. Excuse me. And because we know that God is a God of order, we know that this call is founded on Scripture. And that Scripture reference is Psalms 88:13. But to you, I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning, my prayer comes before you. So here on the Master's Call, we start this call in prayer, we end this call in prayer, and we hope that you continue each and every day in prayer. If you want to listen to the current message, again, you can do so by dialing 712-432-1085, access code 957-677-pound. All of the messages have been archived and recorded from the inception of the call to the present and can be played back by visiting our website. The website address is www.themasterscall.net. That's www.themasterscall.net. If you're feeling led to join the team, or if you have a word from the Lord stored up in your belly, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, please email us at info@themasterscall.net. That's info@themasterscall.net. And either Dr. Vanessa or our prayer general, Minister Robin, will get back with you. Again, if you visit our website, you can see what's going on with the Master's Call. You can look at the bios. You can see what the prayer objectives are, and you can stay completely and totally involved. Immediately following this call is the MMC call hosted by our Platinum President, Godmother Dorothy Cook, and a host of other dynamic leaders throughout Artists International that keep us informed, energized, and moving to enhance the lives of others. That number is 530-881-1300, PIN code 539-598-pound. Again, 530-881-1300. Access code 539-598-pound. So now I am getting ready to get out of the way so that the man of God can come forward and bless our socks off. Today's speaker is none other than Bishop C. Horace Kitson. Bishop Kitson is the fourth son of the late Bishop Eric Kitson. He was ordained as a pastor in the Glorious Church of God in 1974. Pastor of the Banbury Glorious Church of God in Jamaica from 1976 to 1982. He graduated from the College of Arts and Science and Technology in Jamaica. He was a commissioned professional land surveyor in 1978. He married his wonderful, beautiful wife, Lorna M. Doyley, in 1976. They have been married for almost 40 years. He migrated to the U.S. in 1981. He has two beautiful daughters and one granddaughter. He was a youth pastor at the Deliverance Church in Orlando from 1991 to 94. He was an elder at Radiant Life Assemblies of God in Orlando from 1995 to 1999. He got his Bachelor's of Theology from the United Bible College and Theological Seminary, a Master's of Ministry from International Seminary. He is currently working on his PhD in Ministry and Religious Studies at International Seminary. He is the author of one book, Is the Bible Really True? Pastor of the House of Prayer and Praise in Orlando from 2001 to 2013. Bishop-elect of the House of Prayer and Praise Ministry in Jamaica. Soon to be a platinum bishop. And so I present to some and introduce to others none other than Bishop C. Horace Kitson. Bishop Kitson, are you there?
Yes, Minister Kai. Thank you very much. It's a great morning to you.
Same to you. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. A great morning to those of you that are tuned in to this Our Master's call. This is indeed a tremendous opportunity to be able to share with you from the city beautiful Orlando. And it's a great pleasure of mine to share with you this morning. I'm sure some of you have read this, some of you have heard this. It is said that the Greeks said, be wise and know yourself. And I think that is great counsel there. The Romans said, be strong and discipline yourself. Religion says, be good, conform yourself. And we could go on and on and on. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. The psychologist said, be confident, assert yourself. All the way through until this man from Galilee, he came on the scene and Jesus said, deny yourself. So all the philosophies of men, they are all egocentric. They all focus on self. Be wise, be strong, be sensuous, be resourceful, be confident. And all these are good, positive instruction. Jesus came on the scene, and in St. Luke 9 and verse 23, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And that cuts across all the other philosophies. So the question then, why do we need to deny ourselves? It's a good question. You see, when man sinned, he wanted to be as wise as gods, knowing good and evil. And until today, man's problem is that he thinks he's a god. So this principle of self that resides in our souls must be recognized for what it is. This principle, this self principle, it wants to kill us. It wants to destroy our marriages, our children. And this self-principle rules the world system. Why is it so dangerous? Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnal minded is enmity against God. The carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed subject to God's law. So then this carnal principle that is resident in man, we can see it in the babes. We have two grandchildren, not two, we have three. We have one that is older, she's 12, 13, one that is just two, and another one that is one. And we can see this principle already beginning to work within them. It's a principle where they want to do their own thing. It's the principle that tells them they should not follow instructions. And that principle is what is resident in our souls. And this principle is what philosophers and psychologists and teachers are trying to mold and to see if we can get people to live to the glory of God. But those that live according to this principle, Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 8, you cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, because we are going to be pleasing ourselves. So it's an impossibility. So this principle that is called self, the flesh, how are we going to deal with it? The story is told, and this is a true story, of a soldier. He had six children, and he was being drafted to go to war. A friend of his, a fellow soldier, said, "I will go in your place." That young man went in the place of his friend, and he died. So after his death, they wanted to draft this other guy who had six children. But the guy looked at them and said, "I died. When my friend died, I died." And legally, they could not draft him into the service. So the question then, is there any victory over this principle, this carnal principle? You talk to most Christians today, and the scripture says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." And it also says, "These things have I written unto you, my little children," in 1 John 2 and verses 1 and 2. "These things have I written unto you, my little children, that you sin not. And if you sin," it didn't say when you sin. It says, if you sin. So you see, those who are in Christ and those who have identified with his death, we are no longer controlled by the principle of sin. And sometimes we are even afraid to talk like this because, oh no, we are all sinners and we are just miserable. We are just trying to serve God, you know? And that's the position that most people take. So then, it's through identification in the death of Jesus Christ. There has to be a revelation. And through this revelation, Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this, it's a knowledge, it's a revealed knowledge that the old man is crucified with Christ. And also in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about if one died for all, then we're all dead. So when that soldier died for his friend, legally, this other man with the six kids, he died. So legally, they could not recruit him into service anymore. So therefore, as a matter of fact, the scripture went on to say, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. For though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now know we him no more. Therefore, as a result of that, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things," the old things of the old flesh, "they are passed away. We died with Christ. And all things are become new." It's called identification, identifying in the death of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, if we be planted together, Paul said, in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So when we identify with Christ's death, realizing that the death, that is the death of self, that's the death that self deserves. Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 6 of St. John says, for God so loved the world. But you see, Moses lifted up the serpent and put the serpent on a pole because all the people were bitten by the serpent. And then they were dying. And God said, put a brazen serpent on the pole, and those that look on the serpent, they lived. So then our nature is like a serpent. Jesus took our place. He took our nature upon himself, and that nature was nailed to the cross. How else could a young man live and not keep lusting after sin? How could an individual be in a church and live free from sin? This is why Paul says, therefore, being made free from sin, we became the servants of righteousness. The philosophers cannot attain to this because there is no victory over this self, over this old sinful nature, outside of the death, the burial, and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we identify with Christ's death, realizing that that's the death that this old nature deserves, when we identify ourselves, then we are free. And this principle no longer dominates our lives. So when we sin, it's not when we sin, it's if we sin. Sin then becomes a choice. Sin no longer dominates our lives. We are in Christ. And just like the individual that is in an aeroplane, he's now operating under a new law, a different law. Because the law, Paul says in Romans 8, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And this was not in the original manuscript, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, friends, I don't know if you have been made free from the law of sin and death. So Paul says, it has made me free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. I can't speak for anybody else. As a young man at 18, when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and he placed his love in my heart and I started loving him, then he gave me, through the Spirit and the grace of God, he gave me victory over sin. How else could I live? Paul says, the grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. Teaching us the grace of God. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, in this present world, looking for the glorious, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So it is the grace of God that we have received that teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is there any hope? for a person that is in Christ. Yes, we are now in Christ, and the law of gravity no longer, we are in the aeroplane. The law of gravity no longer pulls us down because the plane is operating under a new law, the law of aerodynamics. And we are in that plane, and we are no longer under the control of gravity. We are in Christ, and when we identify with his death and we receive the revelation, we are no longer under the law of sin and death. We are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and that makes us free so that we can serve the Lord. We can do whatever we have to do in our businesses. We have victory over fear, victory over doubt. We come into our full potential and start living our lives to the glory of God. So all the philosophies, they are all egocentric. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, if you are going to follow me, you can be a church member without denying yourself, but you will never be able to follow Jesus unless you are willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus daily. I trust that the Spirit of the Lord will minister to your heart, so that you too will be free from this law of sin and death and start living your life to the glory of God. The Lord bless you. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, Minister Kai.
Thank you, Bishop Kitson, for that moving and stirring word. I'll call you back for the benediction. I'm going to go to the Father in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the man of God, Bishop Kitson, and the anointed word with which he has blessed us this morning. We know that it is only by the grace of God and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have a hope and a future, and that we are able to walk upright in this world. We ask that you continue to keep your hands on him. Continue to breathe life, speak life, pour life into him. And everything that he touches, may it prosper 100-fold. Continue to bless his marriage. Continue to keep the blood hedge of protection around his family, his ministry, and all those he calls dear. Lord, we thank you that he is willing to give of his time so that we can be blessed with a word from on high. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you continue to be a lamp unto his path and a light unto his feet. We thank you and we praise you for it. Lord, we ask that you continue to be a hedge of protection around Artists International. And as things are stirred up and shaken loose, that you continue to keep us, those who are distributors, walking on the path that you have ordained for Artists. We ask that you continue to keep a special hedge of protection around Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. Lord, their yes is the reason why we are here today, and we thank you and praise you for them. We thank you that you are continuing to prosper them and bless them, and that they are continuing to walk upright in your ways, O God. Lord, we ask that you continue to touch the bereaved families. Lord, you know every need associated with it. You know that they need your peace, that they need your comfort, that they need your guidance and your wisdom in this time, O Heavenly Father. So we thank you that you continue to touch them. You continue to just minister to their spirits. You continue to hold them up, and you continue to be their strength in the time of sorrow. We know that sickness and disease are all names and must bow down to the name of Jesus. So we thank you that you are in control. And Father, whatever situation or circumstance that comes into our lives, we will continue to give you the praise, glory, and honor that is due you. Lord, we just want to continue to be humble. We want to walk according to your will for our lives. We want to do our part, O God. So as we continue to surrender our will to yours, as we continue to become more like our big brother Jesus Christ, we just ask that you continue to keep your hands on us, continue to love us and guide us. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, immediately following this call is the MMC call, and that number is 530-881-1300, access code 539-598#. Again, 530-881-1300, access code 539-598#. So if you want to listen to today's message again, you can do so by dialing 712-432-1085, access code 957-677#. Go ahead and post it to your social media. Let three people know by texting them, because this is a word that we need to hear and we need to walk according to. So again, I want to say thank you to Minister Willa for seating and greeting the people, and thank you to Bishop Kitson for such an amazing word. And we just want to, you know, we look forward to hearing you again on Monday. Bishop Kitson, can you come back and give us our benediction?
Yes. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the unwise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.